Luke chapter number 8 and verses 19 to 21 is where we find ourselves. Luke chapter number 8 and verses 19 to 21. We've been going through the book of Luke on Sunday mornings, not all the time. We haven't always been in Luke, but for the most part, Sunday mornings, we use that time to go section by section through the book of Luke so that we can get a good understanding of the life of Christ. And so we find ourselves in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 19, where Jesus is speaking here. He's in the midst of dealing with a crowd of people and speaking to them much about hearing and about acting on his words. Verse 19, it says, "Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press." If you can picture that, a lot of people around Jesus, his mom, his brothers, they come and they're trying to find him and speak with him, but there's so many people around they can't get to him. Verse 20, "And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now think about what was going on there. Jesus was not spiting his family, but also, let me say this, he was not venerating his family. It's important for us to note that Jesus never venerated his mother. Although the Virgin Mary was, at the time of Christ's conception and at his birth, she was a virgin, yet she is not somebody to be venerated or worshipped. And Jesus proved it right here, that as she came and she couldn't get at him for the press, he wasn't overly anxious to give her access to him that he wouldn't give to anyone else. The same with his brothers, by the way. They were half-brothers because they had Joseph as their father. He had God as his father, but they were half-brothers nonetheless, and they couldn't get in and see him. And can you picture that in your mind? And I'm sure that the people who came to him and said, "Hey, hold on, Jesus, your mom and your brethren are without, they want to come. Certainly, you're going to command your disciples to clear a pathway for your family to come in, right? And they ought to be able to speak with you when nobody else can really get in. And you may not give that special treatment to anyone else, but you'll give it to your mom and your brethren." But Jesus makes an astounding statement, a strong statement. I believe it's a statement that reflects upon the things that we've learned in the previous weeks from Luke chapter number 8 about hearing and doing. And here's what he says. He says, "My mother and my brethren are these," and I imagine he probably pointed with his hands, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." You see, Jesus didn't put emphasis on who his physical relations were. He put emphasis on those who would hear his word and do it. We've been told in Luke chapter number 8 by the Lord Jesus Christ that if we have ears to hear, we are to hear. And we took note of that. That we ought to be sure that we are tender and ready to receive the word of God. Coming to church or reading the word of God ourselves or whatever it might be with an attitude of humility and willing to accept what God has for us. We were also told in chapter number 8 that we need to take heed how we hear. In other words, we ought to hear not just with a tender heart, but with a desire to do the word of God and have it affect our lives. Now, in this passage of Scripture, what we just read there, verses 19 to 21, we find that if we hear God's word and we do God's word, we will then have a special relationship with Jesus. A special relationship with Jesus. So the title of the message this morning is, "Who is Jesus to you?" Who is Jesus to you? Let's pray and then we'll get right into the message. Lord, I thank you so much for giving us your word. I thank you for Jesus, our Savior. I thank you for the fact that we can have forgiveness of sins and, Lord, that we can have a home in heaven, that we can know that when we die, we're on our way to heaven without a doubt. I thank you for the fact that we can have a special relationship with you because of what you have done. And now, Lord, I pray that you would make those things crystal clear to all of us. Lord, Satan clouds our mind. This world around us makes things confusing. Lord, we have a hard time focusing and learning and receiving from your word. And I pray that you would, in a very supernatural way, you would remove the obstacles that stand between us and hearing and doing your word. I pray, Lord, that you would show us where we fail in this area and show us how to improve. I pray, dear Lord, that you would speak clearly and truthfully to us, that if we are not hearing and doing your word, we would know it. Lord, for every individual here, that they would know whether or not they are hearing and doing the words of Jesus, that it wouldn't be confusing. Holy Spirit, make it clear. And I thank you that you will. Please bind and rebuke Satan, who would love to distract us, who would love to try to get our minds thinking on other things. I pray that you would, Lord, not allow him to do that. And I pray that your hand of blessing would be on this time for Jesus' sake. And in his name we pray. Amen. I want you to think about who Jesus is to you. And I would ask you this question, and I would ask you even to answer the question to yourself in your own heart and mind. This is of the utmost importance that you would hear and be able to answer this question. Because Satan doesn't want you to answer these questions. He wants you to just kind of pass it by and hear it, but not personally apply it. So please hear this and answer the question to yourself. What is Jesus to you, or who is he to you? Is he simply an acquaintance to you? Is he simply somebody who you are acquainted with? There are many people in our lives with whom we are acquainted. That's not a bad thing, that's not a terrible thing, but that's different than really knowing somebody. Or let me ask you this, is Jesus simply your master? By the way, he should be our master, shouldn't he? He should be our Lord. But is he simply your master and nothing more? Is he your counselor? And again, he should be your counselor, but is that all he is? Is he just somebody that you go to for advice? Is he your teacher? Boy, teachers are important, aren't they? We love teachers. I love people who are willing to teach me things, who are willing to help and willing to invest time and effort. Is Jesus simply a teacher to you? And I hope he does teach you, but is that all that he is? Or is he your brother? And I use that term because it's a Bible term. Could he call you one of his brethren? In other words, does he have a family relationship with you? That's different, isn't it? An example of this was yesterday, two of my nephews were graduating, one from high school, the other from college, and they had an open house yesterday, and I took a couple of my kids, we went down there for that open house and enjoyed seeing them. My sister, of course, is their mom, and my sister, with some of the sickness that she has a compromised immune system, and so she has to be very careful who she comes in contact with, who comes in her house, etc., especially now that there's a virus going around, you understand those kind of things. And so we went there, and they were very careful that everything was outside. Nobody was allowed into their house except me. Why? Because I'm her brother. I walked up to her when we got there, and there were a couple people from their church. Her husband pastors First Baptist Church of Monroe down there. And we walked up. A couple of the church members were there, and she gave me a hug, and her church members looked on and kind of picked on her a little bit, and she said, "He's my brother. I have special access. I get to give her a hug when nobody else does. When everyone else has to stay out of the house because her immune system, she doesn't want to compromise it, she willingly even said to me, 'Hey, you want to come in? They've done some work on the kitchen. You want to see the work I've done on the kitchen?'" She invited me in, and we sat at her kitchen table, and we talked for a couple hours. Why? Because I'm brother. My relationship with her is different. I'm allowed in. She's not just an acquaintance, not even just a friend, although she is that. She's my sister. I'm her brother. There's a special relationship. So what is Jesus to you? He should be able to call you one of his brethren. I'm going to put it this way. He should be able to call you brother. Three questions that I want to ask us this morning. Number one, what is it to hear and do the word of God? Because what Jesus said in verse 21 is, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So if Jesus wants me to be his brother, then there's something important about hearing and doing. So let's talk about that. What is it to hear and do? When Jesus made this statement, what did he mean? To what was he referring? Well, the answer can be found in the previous verses. Look at verses 5 through 8. We've already looked at some of these. Let's remind ourselves, this is what it is to hear. Verse 5 of Luke 8, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's what it means to hear. Jesus was using a parable, and we don't have the time to look through it all, but let me just remind you of what each of those types of soil means. The one type of soil, which was the wayside, you might think of it as the shoulder of a road. When the seed fell on the shoulder of a road, the wayside, that was so trodden down by people and carts and whatever else would pass by, it was hardened and the seed just sat on top of the soil. The birds came and plucked it. The seed never produced any fruit. There was another type of soil that was tender in and of itself, and it allowed the seed to enter in, and the seed sprang up, but there were rocks there that did not allow the roots to go down deep, and so when the heat came, the plant just withered and died from the heat. There was another type of soil that was also tender. It allowed the seed in, and the seed germinated, and the plant grew, but the thorns and thistles that were there were never dealt with, and they choked the plant, and it died off. And then there was another type that was good ground. The seed went in, it germinated, it grew into a plant, and it produced fruit because there weren't any restrictions. And Jesus gave us that illustration to remind us that it is important that we have tender hearts, that we have the soil of our heart that is plowed up, that is worked up, that is tender enough that when the seed falls, it's allowed into the soil, it can germinate there, it can grow, and it can produce something. That's what it means to hear. Is your heart tender and open to hearing God's word? Or are you like a rebellious teenager? And sometimes we adults are more rebellious teenagers than rebellious teenagers. Are you like a rebellious teenager that has a hard heart, and whenever something is mentioned, you automatically put up a guard and there's a division there and you put up walls as if someone has personally attacked you when God begins to speak about an issue in your life? That's not a tender heart. You're not hearing. We need to have the heart of a child. Like, for instance, sometimes my children, I'll speak to them about something, and the boys never were like this. They probably could have used a little more of this. But the girls were definitely like this. If I began to talk to them about something, tears just automatically started. Wait a minute, I'm not scolding you. I'm just asking you. That's all. Tears are flowing nonetheless. But I appreciate that. There's a tender heart there. There's some children you have to discipline big time, don't you, to get them to do right. There are other children, you just talk to them. Hey, don't do that. Do this. Okay. And you know, it got through. And they're going to change. You and I need to be like that tender child. That's what it means to hear. What about to do? What does it mean to do? When Jesus said, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. What does that mean? Well, Jesus gave us that example in verses 16 to 18. Verses 16 to 18 of Luke chapter number 8. Notice it says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known or come abroad and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So by the way, it's not enough to hear. We need to be concerned with how we hear. And if you remember, the illustration here is of a person who lights a candle. Why do they light a candle? Do they light a candle? Or in our modern day technology, do they turn on an LED light? By the way, I was at my nephew was telling me he got these little LED strips, you know, the kind that multicolor, they'll do blue, pink, purple, green, you know, whatever. And He put those on the top of his along the ceiling and where the ceiling meets the wall in his room and all this. He has these remotes that turn them different colors. And he said the problem is that the remote for his television is on the same frequency. So if he goes to change the channel, the lights change. So sometimes the technology doesn't always work the right way, does it? But you know, if we turn on a light, why do we turn on a light? Do we turn on a light so that we can put it under a cover and hide it? Do we turn a lamp on and then purposely put it under a bed so that it can't do its work? No. What do we do with a light? Well, we put it up. We put it towards the top of the room. Why? Because we want it to spread. It's like Jesus likened it to a candle. You put it on a candlestick, not under a bed. You know what you and I need to do with what we hear of Jesus? We need to put it on a candlestick, lift it up. Using the illustration of a light, put it at the top of the room where it can shine its light everywhere. That's what it means to do. Not just to hear it and agree with it and let it enter in, but let it affect everything. Just like the illustration of light, when you turn on a light, it affects everything in the room. There's nothing hidden from the light. As long as there's no obstructions, the light goes wherever it needs to in the room. And with God's word, when I hear his word with a tender heart, then I need to do it. Put it somewhere where it will affect me. Let it run through all of my life. Listen, friends, there is no such thing as your church life and then your private life. There is no such thing as your religious life and your secular life. If you are a hearer of Jesus' words and a doer of your words, those two are one. What we do here is simply an opportunity for us to get re-energized and re-encouraged and meet together so that we can get fueled up to go out and live the Christian life everywhere we are. That's hearing the Word of God and doing it. So that's the first question that we've answered. What is it to hear and to do? The second question that we ought to ask is, what is the special relationship that Jesus mentioned here? Because remember, he said in verse 21 of Luke 8, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. He spoke of a special relationship. What does that special relationship look like? First of all, it is special access. Jesus was not granting access to his mother and his brethren based on their blood relation. He was giving special access to those who heard the word of God and did it. And you know why he did that? He did that to teach you and me. You know he does that same thing today? There is no, and this is important for the days that we live in, there is no such thing as a special race of people. The Bible says we are all of one blood. That means if your skin is white like Jeff Shergalis, sorry, Jeff. He would say that too, by the way. He's a computer nerd, so he is a fluorescent white color in his skin, all right? Or if you are really, really tan like Dexter, it doesn't matter which one you are or anywhere in between or beyond either way. You know that we are all of one blood. Jesus did not give special access to his mom and to his brethren because they were from the same family. Jesus was looking at, are you hearing the word of God? Are you doing the word of God? And you know that God does the same thing today. And God's proof of that is even the Jewish nation, with all of God's love for the Hebrew people, and oh, how he loves them. Is there any advantage to the Jew? Much every way. That chiefly, unto them were given the oracles of God. Did they have advantages? Yes, they had advantages. But even they, when they would not hear and do, were plucked off of the olive tree, weren't they? God gives special access not to people based on, are you a child of Abraham or not? God gives special access to us based on, are you hearing and doing the word of God? That's where it is. You see, it's special access. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews 4. We're in Luke 8. You want to keep that place there. But Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. says they're seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, come boldly. That's special access. I have the ability to go before the throne of God in prayer boldly because of the relationship that I have with Jesus. And it has nothing to do with the family to whom I was born. It has nothing to do with the color of my skin or what gender I am or what country I'm from, or you go on and on with the different things that people make up that divide us. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with hearing the word of God and doing it. So let me ask you again, we're going to continue with the message, but who is Jesus to you? Is he just an acquaintance? Is he a friend? Is he a Lord? Is he a counselor? Is he a teacher? Or can he call you his brother? Are you hearing the word of God and doing it? Something else about this special relationship that we're asking about. Number one, it's special access. Number two, it is familial. In other words, it's a family relationship. Look with me, if you would, at 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. And then once you find 1 John chapter number 3, turn to Hebrews in chapter number 2. I know I should have had you stay in Hebrews since it was close, but 1 John chapter 3 and then Hebrews 2. And in 1 John chapter 3, here's what verse number 1 says. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Notice that phrase. That we should be called the sons of God. Wait a minute. Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. And now because of your relationship with him, you can be a son of God as well. That's special relationship, isn't it? That's different than just a teacher, than just a Lord, than just an acquaintance, or even a friend. It's different. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter number 2. Speaking about Jesus now, look what it says in verse 10 of Hebrews 2. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That was Jesus. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Jesus calls us his brethren. His brothers. Imagine that. The Son of God looks at you as a sibling. Now that's a miracle. You don't deserve it. It's not anything you've done. You're a wicked sinner just like I'm a wicked sinner. We all deserve God's wrath. We have failed. We have destroyed. Listen, destroyed the Ten Commandments, haven't we? You and I have with our actions. And yet God says, by His grace, by His work, we're called brethren with Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. So it is familial. Also, look at Romans chapter 8. It is an inheritance. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8, we want to look at verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Bible tells us there, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So in this familial relationship, this special relationship that I have with Jesus, when I am called his brother, that also puts me in a position where if he's going to inherit something from the Father, I'm going to inherit it as well. Which is amazing. Friend, that ought to take every bit of depression and discouragement away from your heart. If there's something you've wanted, maybe you've always wanted that perfect home, or you've wanted that big bass boat, or you wanted, you know, this thing or that thing, whatever girls want, I don't know. Who knows what women want, right? I don't know. But whatever it is that you ladies desire, think about this. Those things are piddly. They're nothing. We are joint heirs with Christ. Now, we haven't received our inheritance yet, but it's coming. And everything that belongs to God, belongs to Jesus Christ. And I'm his brother, I'm a joint heir with him. It's an inheriting relationship. What an amazing miracle. There's coming a day where we will inherit with Christ, and I'm looking forward to that day. It's all based on that relationship that we have. Then there's one more question that I want to ask, and it's the question that is the title of the message. So the first question was, what is it to hear and do? Second question, what is that special relationship mentioned? The third question is, what is Jesus to you? Listen, I don't want you to answer out loud, but I do want you to answer in the quietness of your heart. And I mean every one of you here, young, old, doesn't matter who you are, everybody. What is Jesus to you? Is he a friend? Is he an acquaintance? Is he a Lord? Is he a counselor? Is he a teacher? You go on and on with the list. Those are not bad things. He should meet those qualifications in all of our lives. But can you call him your brother? Are you someone who hears the word of God and does it? And there's one main word of God that you need to hear and do if Jesus is to be called your brother. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So Luke is there. The next book is John. We'll close with this passage of Scripture here. So in John 1:12, you might say, all right, Pastor, give me something then that I should hear and I should do. And remember, hearing is having that tender heart, ready to receive, open, humble, ready to receive. And then the doing is then making that a priority in your life, putting it up there like a light shining throughout the room where it touches every aspect of your life. John 1, verse number 10. Speaking of Jesus now, here's what John 1, 10 says. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now notice verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That is the first and foremost part of the word of God that you need to hear and do. If you're going to be called the brother of Christ, you must hear this. And this is important. First of all, that Jesus came to save you from your sin. That is of the utmost importance. And if you don't realize what a sinner you are, then there's nothing that anyone can do to help you. The Bible tells us that we are all wicked before God. Romans chapter 3 tells us that our mouth is like an open sepulcher. In other words, an open grave. There's just death that comes out of it. We say the wrong things. We do the wrong things. And God even judges our thoughts. We think the wrong things. The Word of God in the law tells us that we're to love God above everything else and have no other gods before him. We fail in that. That we're to give God the Sabbath day and trust him with all with that, and we fail at that. That we're to honor our mother and our father, we fail at that. That we're not to steal, that we're not to lie, that we're not to commit adultery, and we fail in all of those areas. And God says, you're a sinner, and therefore I've sent my son Jesus to be your Savior. And friends, most people in this world have rejected the Savior. They either say, I'm not that bad, or they say, I don't really think it could be that easy. But they, for whatever reason, reject him. Here's what the Word of God says. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power. You must receive him. In other words, you must welcome him into your life. It's similar to what my sister did with me yesterday when I showed up. She received me. She embraced me. She welcomed me into her home. She received me. Have you received Jesus? I didn't say, have you met him at the door and shook his hand? Have you embraced him? Have you welcomed him into your life and received him there? Then it puts it another way at the end of John 1:12. It says, even to them that believe on his name. That means to put all of your trust in who he is. That means to rest completely on him. Have you rested your life upon him? Or are you still striving to be a good person that hopefully that will get you to heaven? Are you still trusting in the fact that you're religious or that you've been baptized or this thing or that thing? then if you're trusting in those things, then you haven't believed on his name. It's like the illustration of a person who wants to fly from here to, let's just say, New York City. And they could get on a plane here at Dane County Regional Airport and fly, or they could stand on the tarmac and flap their arms. Now, we might look at that as ridiculous. Hopefully, you do look at that as ridiculous, because flapping your arms doesn't make you fly. I don't know if you figured that out yet or not. But trying to work our way to heaven is more futile than standing on the tarmac and flapping your arms hoping you'll fly. See, what you need to do is you need to trust in the plane. You need to get on the plane and sit down. And then when you get to New York, no one's going to ask you, so how hard was it to fly here? Wasn't hard at all. I got in the plane and sat down. I just let the pilot do all the work. You know, that's what it is in salvation too. Listen, trust on Jesus Christ and sit down. Let him do the work. He's done it. It's done in Christ. But you must receive him. That's the first thing. You must hear and do. Receive him. Believe on his name. Once you receive him and believe on his name, then he slowly reveals more light to you, doesn't he? There's an area in your life where he says, hey, don't do that anymore. Do this. Okay, Lord, I have hearing ears and a heart that's ready to do. All right, now, this time, do this. Okay, Lord, I'm hearing and I'm doing. And as we grow in that relationship, we get closer and closer and closer and closer. But it all begins by hearing and doing, by receiving and believing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for these that are here, and I thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have given us your word and taught us what it is to hear and to do, and that you've given us a special relationship with you, that we could be called the sons of God, brethren with Christ. Now, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, that has never received you, never believed on you, Lord, I pray that you would please give them the courage to get that dealt with today. Lord, if there are people who have received you, maybe, Lord, we've walked away from you, we've had a hard heart lately, we've not been doing what you tell us to do, Lord, would you forgive us? Would you bring us to repentance? Would you change that situation today, I pray, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. This morning, I want to give an opportunity for all of us here to respond to the Word of God. How many of you here can say, with an uplifted hand here in just a moment, you would be able to say, Pastor, I can remember a time in my life very specifically where I received Jesus. I believed on Him. Would you lift up your hand? You say, Pastor, I can remember a specific time I have believed on Jesus. All right, you may put your hands down. How many of you here would say, Pastor, I cannot remember a specific time where I received Jesus into my life, where I believed on Him? Would you lift your hand? All right. All right. Very good. How many of you with an uplifted hand would say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I've believed on Jesus, but God has spoken to me today. There's an area in my life where I've not been hearing and doing, where I've not been acting like a brother of Christ. I've been acting more like a stranger or just an acquaintance. I've been like a sheep, gone astray, doing my own thing. Pastor, God spoke to me about an area in my life. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Would you lift your hand up? Anybody like that here at all? Amen. And I do see those hands. God knows the situation, and He will help you with that. Let me encourage you to act upon that and to obey as soon as you can. I'm going to pray one more time. After that, the pianist is going to play a hymn of invitation. If God just spoke to your heart about that, maybe you just want to come and pray over something else, but the altar will be open. You can make an altar there of your chair or here at the altar, whatever you want to do. Dear Lord, please have your hand upon this time of invitation. Let decisions be made that are permanent decisions by your grace here and for those who are watching at home in Jesus' name.